Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Finding someone on an online Catholic dating site shouldn't be like shopping for a blender. So why do most dating sites leave you feeling like you're shopping for a spouse? At Catholic Singles, we connect members through our unique user polls and activities, which help you discover other members and their personalities and interests. Because you're a person, not a profile picture. So stop shopping and start discerning. Trust your love story to the original Catholic dating site and use the promo code BREADBOX at checkout for 20% off at catholicsingles.com.
Healthy, productive organizational cultures don't just happen. They need to be cultivated. Unfortunately, many organizations approach creating a values-centered culture by identifying a few core values they think are good and then planting them, hoping they'll take root. But simply posting your core values on a wall in hopes that people will live them doesn't work. In this episode of Buyer Life, we offer valuable lessons for any leader who wants to cultivate a winning culture in their workplace. Welcome to the 132nd episode of Buyer Life. I'm Lisa Hudiman, and I know you have 100 different things that you could be doing right now. So I thank you for choosing Buyer Life. My goal is to inspire, empower, support, challenge, and encourage you to connect Sunday with Monday through Friday in a secular business world. It's my desire to help you live our Catholic faith in the marketplace. I hope to offer you practical ways to go forth and glorify the Lord by your life. In this edition, we'll reflect on the readings for the 27th Sunday in Ordinary Time. In our gospel this Sunday, Jesus told a parable of the tenants. He said, "There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. Then he leased it to tenants and went on a journey." The chief priests and the elders of the people would have recognized the setting for the story, which came from the prophet Isaiah, which was our first reading. He wrote, "My friend had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He spaded it, cleared it of stones, and planted the choicest vines. Within it, he built a watchtower and hewed out a wine press. Then he waited for the crop of grapes." Both stories are a beautiful allegory of the landowner, who represents God, his vineyard, that represents the chosen people of Israel, and the new Israel, the church. And the way the landowner cultivated his vineyard, God lavishes his love upon his people. But there is an expectation by the landowner that the vineyard will produce good fruit. This parable and the prophecy that preceded it have valuable lessons for any leader who wants to cultivate a winning culture in their workplace. First, the landowner was personally invested in cultivating the vineyard. In the first reading, the landowner said, "What more could be done for my vineyard that I did not do?" Over the years of working with clients who wanted to develop a positive culture, a key to success is the CEOs, presidents, executive directors, owners, founders, or leaders' personal ownership and commitment to the core values and the process of developing the culture. I've worked with those who have and those who haven't, and the latter were not successful in their attempts at culture change. Healthy, productive organizational cultures don't just happen. They need to be cultivated. I like having a nice garden, but frankly, I don't enjoy doing the necessary work. I wish that beautiful flowers would just spring up spontaneously. But if I use the stand back and watch approach, I know what will happen. No matter how fertile the ground, I'll simply get weeds. In order to have flowers, I have to plant flowers. And what's more, I have to keep watering, weeding, and fertilizing the garden so they'll grow. Unfortunately, many organizations approach cultivating a value-centered culture the way I approach gardening. They rush their leadership team off to a strategic planning retreat where they identify a few core values they think would be good for their organization. Then they hurry back and plant those values and hope they'll take root. But simply posting your core values on a wall in hopes that people will live them doesn't work. When organizational culture and core values are not integral components of your overall strategy, the results are always disappointing. Secondly, the organization's culture and the mission go hand in hand. We know from the first reading that the landowner prepared the vineyard and hewed out a wine press, and in the gospel, he dug a wine press in it. So the mission of the vineyard was to produce fine wine. The landowner was clear of the mission, so he selected a fertile hillside, spaded it, and cleared it of stones to prepare it to bear fruit. The reason leadership commits to and personally invests in developing the culture of the organization is because it supports achieving the mission. A toxic culture is an obstacle to the mission. The culture of an organization is determined primarily by its core values. Organizations, like individuals, become what they value, respect, and believe, and this profoundly affects all of its activities and achievements. Organizations whose cultures prize excellence will tend to achieve excellence. Organizations with a strong can-do attitude will tend to set and achieve ambitious goals. On the other hand, organizational cultures devoid of positive values are almost certainly destined for mediocrity, or worse. Although I believe that honesty and integrity are fundamental values without which no others can subsist, I'm not suggesting that there's one set of core values that's right for every organization, any more than there's any one right plant for every type of soil. Just as flowers, soil, lighting, and moisture must be compatible for a garden to flourish, the vision, values, culture, and strategy must be in harmony for an organization to succeed. The perfect culture for a high-tech company will almost certainly be a terrible misfit for a law firm. No one set of core values is right for every organization. Which brings me to the third lesson for creating a winning culture that we can take from our readings. While leadership must be personally invested and committed, it is not just up to the CEO, president, executive director, owner, founder, or leader to create culture change. It requires dedicated leadership by the CEO with the collaboration and buy-in of everyone within the organization. Collaboration increases commitment because people who share in defining core values are more likely to foster living them. Successful companies conduct onboarding training for every new employee, but companies that truly live by core values know that promoting core values cannot just be part of a new employee orientation. It needs to be an ongoing process, so they incorporate core values into all technical, human resource, marketing, and sales training activities to help employees appreciate their importance and understand how they affect daily activity. Core values affect the types of people you will hire, the types of business opportunities you'll pursue, the types of vendors you'll choose, and the kinds of funding and investment partners you'll accept. They attract and repel like a magnet. People who share your values will want to do business with you. And that's good for your business. People who don't share your values won't want to do business with you, and that's also good for your business. The last and probably most important lesson for creating a winning culture that we can take from our readings is the importance of holding people accountable for bearing good fruit. This is what the landowner tried to do. When vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to obtain his produce. Accountability means each and every person in the organization is willing to stand up and say, I want to live these values, and if I fail, I want you to tell me so I can fix it and make things right again. And then, coworkers will respectfully speak up when they see a violation. Employees will feel empowered to respectfully tell their boss when they have failed. Iron sharpens iron in an accountable organization. But the tenants didn't want to be held accountable, so they seized the servants, and one they beat, another they killed, and a third they stoned. And when Jesus asked the chief priests and the elders of the people, what will the owner of the vineyard do to those tenants when he comes? They answered him, he will put those wretched men to a wretched death and lease his vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at proper times. And Jesus responded, therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that will produce its fruit. Likewise, when holding people accountable for living your company's core values, a time will almost certainly come when you will need to terminate an employee for violating them. Decide in advance what types of violations of values warrant termination and what types merit additional training or coaching. As Colleen Chappell, CEO of Chappell Roberts, said when I interviewed her for my book, The Value of Core Values, it is critical that our employees know, understand, and honor our core values. We allow people to make mistakes, but certain things are not acceptable. We have had to terminate employees when our values were compromised. These were not decisions we took lightly because people and their families and well-being were impacted. They were also difficult decisions because of the disruptive ripple effect terminations would have throughout the agency. When I communicated these decisions at our staff meeting, I would tell them, I want to let you know that I terminated an employee today because he broke a core value. Every one of you has signed on to our core values. When we stand in front of our clients, we promise to live up to them. I, as the leader of this agency, cannot say that we have core values if we don't live up to them all the time, regardless of whether others are looking. A final thought. In our second reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians, St. Paul wrote, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. When considering these values, we have choices to make. More truth or less truth? More honor or less honor? More just or less just? More pure or less pure? More lovely or less lovely? More gracious or less gracious, more excellent or less excellent, more praiseworthy or less praiseworthy? How now shall we live? As individuals, we will be held accountable for how we live our lives. We are given talents and gifts and opportunities at home and at work to produce good fruit for the kingdom of God. Sometimes, we are on purpose and honor God by how we live our lives, and sometimes we fail. The question is, are you willing to stand up and say to your family and friends and coworkers, I want to live according to these values, and if I fail, I want you to tell me so I can fix it and make things right again? Or do you attack the messenger? In our world of contemporary secularism that has rejected God and grown deaf to the voice of the Spirit, let's recommit to honoring the values that have been given to us with how we live our lives. Let's ask the Lord, in His mercy, to help us. Lord, we thank You, and You alone are worthy of all our honor and praise because you have planted us in a fertile vineyard. Thank you for the gifts you have given us to bear good fruit. Lord, as we navigate through this sinful world, keep us from all the weeds and thorns we may encounter, so we may remain firm. In all that we do, we may glorify you by our lives. And may God bless you abundantly this week, and may you glorify the Lord by your life. If you like this episode, you know what to do. You can spread the word by forwarding, sharing, or clicking to post at our website, byyourlife.com, where you can also check out the resources page and find a link to the books and other resources mentioned in this and other episodes of By Your Life. And I'm always interested in what you think, so give me some feedback by leaving a comment.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Holo is here to help. Holo is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Holo has something for everyone. Holo is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.holo.app/breadbox.